You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This podcast is taking a look at what teams have done in the offseason now that we are just days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. I am Allison Vetter, and I'm here with Todd Dalecki, who covers the very interesting and emerging, I guess you could say, Philadelphia Phillies. So, Todd, the question that I have to ask you is one that you already know what I'm going to ask you about, the most impactful move that the Phillies made this offseason. Obviously, there was a huge trade. So when you look at the players that were involved in that trade with Houston, how do you see that setting up as the team enters spring training?
Well, on paper, certainly, it sets them up pretty nicely, especially because I think they're really keeping their fingers crossed that Vincent Velasquez, who was really the key piece of this trade for the Phillies, that was the guy they really wanted. I think they're really hoping that he can come out here in spring training and win that number five job in the rotation. And if he doesn't, I think Brett Oberholzer, one of the other guys that got in the deal, I think they're hoping that he can kind of step in and take that spot. If Vincent Velasquez doesn't seem like he's quite ready for it yet. But either way, I think Oberholzer is going to be on the pitching staff one way or the other, either in the rotation or bullpen, because he's out of options. And, of course, you have Mark Appel is going to be in camp. He's going to start the season in AAA, but I think they're kind of hoping that for one reason or another something clicks. But make a long story short, they really think that this trade, the Ken Giles trade, really added a lot of depth to the organization in terms of starting pitching, which was something that they really, really did not have last year. In fact, I think I looked up some numbers the other day. They had 10 pitchers make about 106 starts last season with a combined ERA of 6.19. So they had really bad starting pitching for most of the year. So I think they expect it. They're not expecting Velasquez to go out there and put up an ERA of 2.5 or Oberholzer or whatever. Just give them something competent. Give them some competent starting pitching. Make some improvements as the season goes on, and they expect they'll see some improvement with their record.
So to make sure that I have this right, there is a very good chance that the starting five, when the team rosters are set on opening day, the starting five pitchers were not with the Phillies last year. Do I have that right?
Well, yeah, to start the season last year, for sure. Jeremy Hellickson is new. Charlie Morton is new. They got them in trades. And then Aaron Nola and Jared Eichhoff came up mid-season to late in the season. So, and then, like I said, Velasquez, I think I would call him the favorite for that number five spot going into spring training. So all five new faces compared to what was opening the 2015 season, which, like I said with that stat earlier, 10 pitchers last year with a combined 6.19 ERA, more than 60% of their games, they needed some fresh faces.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, and everyone knows where the Phillies are and where they're headed, and they're headed in a very good direction, and you've been covering them forever, and you know their system better than anybody, and you've said that, like, they are doing the right thing. At some point, though, like, when you give me that statistic, which is just mind-boggling. I mean, there has to be some point you just can't have guys going out there absolutely burying themselves, and they do have to play major league games, and that can wear on someone, on a group of people, if there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So I guess the tunnel light is opening a little bit more this year.
It definitely is. I think Nola and Eichhoff last year, I think they made like a combined 21 starts. And they pitched very, very well, and the team was 11-10 in those games, and that's not going to get the Phillies into the postseason or in postseason contention, but what that does tell you is just a little bit, just be competent, go out there and pitch 6 innings, 7 innings, 3-4 runs, give your team a chance to win, and even the Phillies, who had one of the worst offenses in baseball last year, ended up winning more games than they lost when those two young pitchers made starts last season. So, and that's why I think they do see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, because they really do think that Nola, Eichhoff, Velasquez, and some of these other prospects they have coming up through the system, those guys are going to be a heck of a lot better than what they had last year and the past couple of years. So, you know what? Like I said, they're probably not going to, they're not expected to compete for the postseason this year. They might not even challenge 500. but I think they're certainly expecting, with better pitching, they're going to improve upon last year's record, which was 63-99, the worst record in baseball.
Woo, 99. So, yeah. Looking ahead a little bit, I mean, when do you see? Maybe this is not a fair question, but when can you foresee like things really coming together where they are actually just contenders and not, hoping to surprise people or hoping just to break 500? But when is this whole plan? It's going to take 2 years? It's going to take 3 years? Is it more than that?
You know, I think if everything goes as they expect, and what I mean by that is they're not expecting all of these prospects that they have to all of them pan out and all of them be solid big league contributors, but a decent share of the prospects that they have coming up through the system. I think what would be realistic is the Phillies improve a little bit this season. You know, I don't know what record that would be. You know, maybe, you know, a few games under 500. Maybe then by 2017, you know, they're a 500 team or maybe a little bit better. And then by 2018, you know, they really start to compete again. And I think nobody with the Phillies is saying it, but I think that would be a fair guess or gauge on when they think they will be a competitive team again. When I think they will start, you know, kind of dipping back into that free agent market and making some big splashy signings. But hey, you know what? We've seen other teams really turn it around a lot quicker than a lot of other people expected. And same could happen to the Phillies, but I think 2018 is probably a realistic guess on when things get better for them.
And is there anything that you see that they still need to address? I mean, this is a little bit of a silly question just because there's like almost every position is like open going into spring training. But is there anything where you think maybe they don't have enough reinforcements or they still could go out and maybe sign somebody, or do you think they're pretty much going with what they have?
I think they're pretty much going to go into camp with what they have. Personally speaking, you know, when I look at questions going into spring training, I kind of wonder where their leadership is going to come from. This is a team without a lot of veterans with big league experience, considerable big league experience. You know, they have a lot of relief pitchers as non-roster invitees in camp, like Andrew Bailey and Edward Mojica or Ernesto Friere. But it's hard to see. You look in that clubhouse right now, and it's hard to see kind of where the leadership is going to come from. And I really think they're going to miss a guy like Jeff Francoeur, who is still available. You know, for whatever reason, they chose not to re-sign him. I thought that they might have a shot, but then they to bring him back, but they went out and got David Lowe on a minor league contract instead. But that's the only thing I think they could probably shore up is, you know, who's going to teach these young guys the right way to go about things, not only on the field but off the field, and who's going to speak up. And I really don't see any real vocal leaders in there right now.
That could be a little bit of an issue just because these young guys that are coming up being developed by the organization, they're going to be the ones in 5 years that are supposed to be teaching the next guys. And if they aren't taught the right way, then I guess that can create some problems down the road. I'm probably getting too philosophical about this, but that could be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be. And I don't want to overstate it, but I do think it could be an issue. What was great about Francoeur last season is I've never seen a guy more upbeat in an environment that could have been so terrible. I mean, you know, it's easy to be an upbeat, good teammate when the Phillies are winning World Series and NL East titles, but this was a really bad team last year, and he really kind of single-handedly kept that clubhouse going. And what was good about him as a leader is, you know, he would speak up, he'd defend his teammates, he'd pull guys to the side, and also he kind of crossed different backgrounds. You know, like he would hang out, he would get close with the Latino guys, you know, and you know how those little cliques kind of develop in the clubhouse as people are kind of comfortable with whatever background they have. But Frenchie kind of went in all different directions. He included everybody into everything. Like he would take guys out, he'd joke around with them, he befriended Michael Franco and offered him to buy a suit if he hit and he matched him in home runs. Like those little types of things, I think that down the road kind of pay off. You know, you teach guys the right way to behave as a major league player. And I think I look around, like I said, I look around that clubhouse right now, and I'm not really sure where they're going to get that from.
Okay. Interesting stuff. So we'll keep our eye on that. Thanks, Todd. Safe travels to spring training. We'll catch up with you there. Thank you.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.